The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. But you can find it right here on the shooting bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down, places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall.
You need the shooting bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised. Inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected...
Okay, here we are. A little bit running a little late tonight. Sorry about that, but it seems to be my MO here. But Amy's has already headed out to the People's Republic. Her mother is not doing well at all, and she thought it'd be best if she rushed on out there. Don't think we have the time to drive, so she's already there. Flew out there today, and I'm going to follow up tomorrow, and I've been trying to get things running around here like a chicken with my head cut off. Don't know if I'm winding my ass or scratching my watch, but we're got a lot of stuff going on. So I was in the middle of trying to get back here with a rental vehicle that I'm going to take out there, and while I'm there, just so happens, coincidentally, I'll be doing a Glock Armors class out in Lincoln, California, and also a Personal Defense Handgun 1 on Sunday. So Saturday's the Glock class, and ought to be a lot of fun. We've got a neat place out there to do it, neat people to do it with. We're already getting some, well, I say already, we've been having people sign up right along. But let me go back and find here some folks that have not sponsored us, but they've helped us put the word out and everything. And if you're out in that part of the country, I'd like for you to go by there and give them a little business. If you're looking for something, tell them you heard it on the Shooting Bench. That would be Discount Shooter Supply in Roseville, California. TDS Guns in Rockland, California. Sacramento Black Rifle, also in Rockland, California. California Tactical in Roseville. And Citrus Heights, I'm sorry, it was Shooter's Warehouse in Citrus Heights. Well, let me go back here and do this right. Discount Shooter Supply in Roseville, that would be discountshootersupply.com. TDS Guns in Rockland is tdsguns.com. They've made this pretty easy. Sacramento Black Rifle, same thing, sacramentoblackrifle.com. California Tactical is california-tactical.com. And Shooter's Warehouse, following most of the rest of them, shooterswarehouse.com. So if you get a chance, head on out there. They've got some flyers hanging on the wall for us. They've been kind enough to let us put some posters up and everything. So ought to be a good time there. And we've got, what all have we got coming up here? Oh, the following weekend I'll be here at home with a disaster preparedness seminar right here in Vernon, Arizona. And we've got a bunch of people confirmed to take that. So I think we're somewhere in the vicinity of 30 people right now that have confirmed to take that. Now, I don't know how many others. We told everybody that if you send us an email or give us a phone call, that we'll hold a seat for you. And those people will have first choice of seats. And everybody else, your seats will be held until starting time, which is 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday the 25th. And if people that reserve seats are not there by that time, whoever is in line waiting will get those seats. We're not going to hold them any longer than time to start. So that's what we got going on. Combat Medic class out at Schatz Ranch on the 1st and 2nd. 8th to the 10th will be a survivalist renaissance in Young, Arizona. And the 15th will be a preparedness fair or preparedness show in Kingman, Arizona. The 22nd, I believe, is open. 29th is Thanksgiving. And then we'll take it from there. So that's what we got going on right now. Lots of stuff. You know, I see all these people that all of a sudden think they are activists of some kind. They think that they're doing something new and exciting. They put something on there like they did. Remember, there's been a couple of times where they've said, hey, no, Obama wants to get elected for a third term. You know, he's going, that's unconstitutional. You can't do that. And I said, well, actually, you can do that. And all you got to do is get the 22nd Amendment repealed, and you're free to do it all you want. It's not a new concept. The 22nd Amendment wasn't put in place until 52 or 55, whatever it was. Well, now they're getting out there and saying, all presidents would have served in the military, and Obama has not served. You know, I didn't see his name on the draft list, and one thing or another. Well, that's really not a new concept either. Of the 43 men that have been president of the United States, 23 of them have not served, or 23 of them have served in the military. Hey, Smoky Mountain Preppers back there. Yeah, out of 43 men in office, 23 of them has served in the military. So not anything new. I mean, that goes way back. You could, technically, I guess, if you wanted to get snotty about it, you could say that Washington didn't serve in the military. That was the militia in the Continental Army. But I wouldn't go so far as to say that. But, Abraham Lincoln, as far as I know, did not serve in the military. There was a bunch of them, 20 of them, as a matter of fact. get right down to it. So, and Hopper, there you go. That's we don't need any other excuses. He was not born here. And his aviator may be right. They might vote him right in again, just like they had good sense. And I'm afraid that may actually be the case. Well, I don't think he has a prayer of doing that with Congress and everything the way it is right now. And after this next election, after the midterm here, I think he'll even have less of a chance of making that happen. But anyway, it's not... I don't think it's anything to worry about. But my point is that people get all up in arms and all excited like it's some kind of a new concept, like they just woke up one day and said, hey, they can't do that. By golly, I guess they can and have for some time. So people need to... that could be concrete. That very well may be. I don't know for sure. But people need to, well, first off, they need to be a little more educated before they start running their mouth. In the second place, they just need to be a little bit more educated in what's going on with the in their country, with you know, current events and stuff. You don't have to be a genius with it. I mean, everybody doesn't know everything, but some of these people are so dumb. I don't know if you heard, who was it? I heard them on the TV today. It was on the news. One of the news people went up and just arbitrarily asked some people, one of them asked about something about Abraham Lincoln. Another one asked another one, who Joe Biden was. And these people had no earthly idea. They were completely, lights were on and nobody was home. Lights were even pretty dim, some of them. Unbelievable. Oh, well. Wouldn't that be nice if they had a little more education before they were allowed to vote? Yeah, I'm all for that. You know, that I have no problem with them limiting the voting process a little bit. All right, well, let's get into some news things here. This is a great story. I really enjoyed this. there's a guy in Portland, Oregon, that obviously does not listen to the shooting bench on account of we have gone over things like this numerous times about having holsters and, you know, finger off the trigger and this, that, and the other thing, and being aware of, always conscious of where your muzzle is pointing. Well, there's a man, it used to be a man. He's kind of the nutless wonder now. Went to apparently shove his, he'd been a little shooting spree here, and shot another guy and went to shove the gun down in his pants. And, he's not going to be... He has removed himself from the gene pool and didn't have to kill himself to do it. So there'll be no more little guys coming out of this particular guy. What was his name here? Joseph Johnson. He missed his Johnson, but he did get the twins. And they're gone now. And so there you have it, Portland, Oregon. I guess that's enough for the story. Let's see here. Here's another one. I don't know how many times we've talked about this, but way back when in AM radio days, one of the things that we discussed or that we mentioned, brought to your attention, is that in our concealed carry classes, actually in most of our defensive handgun classes, we go so far as to tell you, give you some advice on what to do with your weapon when you go to the bathroom, public bathrooms in particular. And there's been a couple of stories over the years where, one of them was a TSA agent, a woman, left her air marshal. Anyway, whatever it was, she left a Glock 22 sitting in a bathroom in Atlanta. And this guy, he was doing his second job. He's off duty working as a security guy in Dillard's. And he walked off and left his weapon sitting on a towel rack in a bathroom in a mall in Memphis, Tennessee. And he wandered around there for a while and then figured out it was gone and run back to get it. And sure enough, it was gone. Somebody done beat him to it. So it was stolen. So I figure that this probably happens daily. I imagine that there's some left in the bathrooms in the police station where people go and they get their briefing and they go out and get ready, you know, let their last cup of coffee go and pull their weapon out, you know, tuck their shirt tail in and everything, or go fix Obama's breakfast or something. And those will never get reported because someone in the department found it and say, hey, you know, look at the serial number and see whose it is and tell them they forgot their gun, or they'll get it before they leave the building, or there'll be some that leave it at home and make an excuse to run back to the house and get it, or any number of things. And this one, because a gun was stolen, made the news, but I'll bet you that it happens nearly daily. It's an easy thing to do if you just lay it down somewhere. You need to have a plan when you go in and drop your britches and figure out what you're going to do with that gun. So this guy had not taken his concealed weapons class from Southwest Shooting Authority and left it sitting in the bathroom there. Oh, well. Okay. I know you guys have heard this one. Surely you've heard this. Mobile, Alabama. 5-year-old girl forced to sign a school contract saying that she wouldn't kill herself or anyone else at school. You know what brought that on? She drew at 5 years old. It wasn't particularly real artistic, realistic looking or nothing, but she drew something with a little imagination, looked like a gun. And according to them, according to the school, she pointed a crayon at another student and said, "Poo, poo." And she didn't even say pow, pow, or bang, bang. But she said the little girl was given a questionnaire to evaluate her for suicidal thoughts and given a Mobile County Public School safety contract to sign stating that she would not kill herself. Rather than, how stupid is this story that you're hearing right now? She's 5 years old. And signs a contract saying she wouldn't kill herself. So she's going to get to be 26 years old and get divorced and get drunk and go stand up on the Golden Gate Bridge and get ready to jump and say, shoot, I so wanted to kill myself, but I remember signing that contract when I was 5 and I can't. And she'll climb down off the bridge and go home. That's probably a good thing. I think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. 5 years old, signing a contract. And what do they plan to do if she violates it? So she gets drunk some night and gets into some mind-altering drugs and wades into a Walmart and kills four or five people. What are they going to do to her because she violated her contract when she was five? I don't get it. I don't know what in the world makes these people tick. Absolutely astonishes me the ignorance of these people. I don't get it. Absolutely amazing. If I had to sign a contract every time I drew something that resembled a gun when I was going up through school, boy, I would have a stack of contracts that you couldn't drive over. I can still remember. Of course, I can't remember any individual exact pictures, but I remember going through and learning how to draw tanks and machine guns and going through and all this evolving over a period of time. You know, American flags on the back of the tank and soldiers walking along beside them. And I drew some intricate pictures there a few times. I'd spent quite a bit of time on them. Draw a full page of a battle scene, you know. And I was pretty proud of myself for doing that. And the teachers then were, you know, if anything was ever said at all, it was because I was spending too much time on it when I should have been working on something else. But never for drawing a picture of a gun. That's just stupid. Sign a contract that I'm not going to shoot anybody or myself. And they say that the parents, this girl's parents, are absolutely furious. I don't know if I'd be furious or not. I think I'd find it comical. I'd have to go. I would go to the school. Would I get mad at them? I don't know. I don't know if I could stay mad. I think I'd be laughing too hard. You people got to be stupid. It's unbelievable. It's like I've told you all this story a dozen times about Wesley when he got in that fight with that kid. And that teacher said, violence never solved anything. And I said, damn sure does, too. Why do you think we have all these wars and stuff going on here? And one way or another, right, wrong, or indifferent, it solves things. And I told Wesley, well, come on, bud, let's go down to Dairy Queen and get ice cream since they're going to kick you out of school anyway. So let's go do something fun. You know, he didn't get in trouble for doing that. Oh, dear me. In Texas, there's a gun store, a former gun store owner. Apparently, if any of this is true, now, I don't know that it is because I do know that when Rick and Terry Reese and Ryan in New Mexico, man, that's been, almost 4 years now, over 3 years, since they were raided. And a lot of the things that they said they did and a lot of the things that they had to do and had to comply with and everything, absolute malarkey. Just totally ridiculous. And a lot of stuff was just out and out lie, you know. And by the way, after all this time, you know, almost 4 years later, their sentencing hearing is coming up here. Just in the Jason just told me the other day, it was just here in the next few days, a couple of weeks, something like that. So we'll certainly keep you abreast of the situation there when this happens, and see if we can have you some current news for it. But there's another guy here that, if this is true, he should have done something a little bit differently. He is from Victoria, Texas, and being from Victoria, that's a little that's a flag right there for these people, because Victoria, way down in South Texas, you know, there's a good possibility the gun dealers down there would be approached by someone who has a lot of money and say, hey, you know, I'll give you $900 for every one of those $400 AKs. Well, all righty then. We'll here you go. We'll work that out. Anyway, a federal judge sentenced this guy to 2 years in jail and 2 years supervised release. And the main charge were possession of an unregistered short-barreled shotgun. He entered a guilty plea, admitted to the possession of a Remington 870, equipped with a 7-inch barrel, which puts the overall length at 15 inches, well under the legal standard. Well, at this point, the legal standard for overall length really doesn't make a lot of difference, since the 7-inch barrel is illegal before we even get to overall length. Anyway, they raided his store back in March, and they said they took 117 firearms that were not properly logged into the record books. Of course, it is required that you, when you get new guns in as an FFL, that they be logged in. I believe it's by close of business the day that they come in. And I forgot what it is. Jason always did that for me, but I'm sure it's either that day or within 24 hours. I don't remember, but it's pretty quick. You got to get them logged in. And agents there also found 4 guns that were required to be registered with the National Firearms Registration, you know, either short-barreled rifles or something like that. But the guy only admitted to having the shotgun. The investigation began after customers reported having trouble retrieving firearms that had been dropped off at this place for repair. They started to complain when he stopped responding to their phone calls and guns they dropped off for repair. He was licensed to deal in and manufacture firearms, but not NFA items, machine guns, silencers, short-barreled rifles, and so on and so forth, which are required to be registered. So, now what's going to happen here at what was formerly Southwest Shooting Authority? I have decided that as a, you know, above and beyond, on top of and including and in addition to what's going on at the ranch, is I'm going to go ahead and get my FFL again, because I want to continue with the, I want to get started with the Glock work and all that. And it's going to take a couple of months. I'm going to get started on this just most Ricky Tech, most immediately, and get started on it. It's still going to take probably 60 days for this to happen. So, but I'm going to get back on it again. I should have never let the other one expire. But be that as it may, just be advised that we've got another one coming. And we're not going to get nearly into not nearly as big a shop or anything as we did before. It's going to be mostly for repair, modification, order guns for people, fix them, stuff like that. We're going to do very little retail. We'll I'll order anything you want, and we're going to keep some ammo in stock, and we're going to keep some, you know, a few little, you know, we'll keep a few Glocks in stock and some little stuff. And, but we're not going to turn it into a big, thriving retail thing that we had before. So, concreting, buddy, good night, and thank you very much for once again taking up the slack for me while I was indisposed here trying to get that pickup out of here. So, and speaking of all that, before we go to a break here, this coming week is going to be extremely spotty. Tomorrow night, I can assure you that there will be no shooting bench tomorrow night because of the, I'm not going to get out of here nearly as early as I wanted to, and I'll be probably still on the road come time to time for the show. And that would be, see, tomorrow's Tuesday. Wednesday, I'm pretty sure we'll have a show Wednesday. Thursday, I doubt. Friday, probably so. So for those of you that follow me on Facebook, I will let you know early in the day how things are looking. I got a half a notion just to put some archives in there and just take the week off. I don't think I've taken a full week off since I've started doing this, but and I may still do that, I don't know. But whatever happens tomorrow is definitely out of the question, and Thursday, we'll see. Wednesday and Friday, we can probably do. So I'll let you know. Watch Facebook, and I'll also put it in the chat room here so that everybody can be informed here. Sorry, I'm hesitating here. I got too many things going on. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Well, Mama was exhausted after she had me. Two nurses to hold me, one nurse to slap me. Doctor turned to Mama and he shook his head, wiped the sweat off his brow, and then he said, "This boy's way off the charts as far as I can tell. Ooh, Mama, he's a double XL."
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
It has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
Red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding the hammer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here at the golf course for a rare one-on-one interview with President Barack Obama and his lovely, his wife. Mr. Obama, what made you think you were presidential material?
Oh, I'm bad. Amazing why.
I see. And now that you've been in office for a while, what do you think of it? I'll bet.
Oh, here comes his wife. Looks like she's trying to make another fashion statement. Mrs. Obama, what is that you're wearing?
My coat of many colors that my mama made for me.
Mr. Obama, can you name even one of the things that you promised during your race?
I'll make our government open and transparent so that anyone can ensure that our business is the people's business.
Yes, sir, that's a good one. Anything else?
But I can promise you this. I will always tell you what I think. I will always tell you where I stand. I will be honest with you about the challenges we face as a country.
Because of that and others, there are many that say,
talk too much. Talk too much. I can't believe the things you say.
And what about what you said concerning the war in Iraq?
I will promise you this, that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war.
You bet your sweet pippy you will, you communist freak.
Mr. Obama, there's been a lot of controversy about your refusal to produce a legitimate birth certificate. What do you remember of your family as you grew up? I see. Well, that could explain it. In a word, how would you describe your lineage? And I suppose that other children teased you while growing up because of this. What were some of the things that they said?
As president, you do a lot of traveling. Can you tell us just how many states you've actually visited now?
I've now been in 57 states.
Well, okay. Aside from your obvious lack of geographical skills, they say that your literary skills have been demonstrated as you've spoken to our troops around the country.
I'm reminded every day of my life, if not by events, then by my wife, that I'm not a perfect man.
In one speech, you addressed our fighting men and women in the Army, Marines, and in particular the,
Navy Corpsmen. Navy Corpsmen.
Yeah, that one. You probably know by now what the people really want to hear from you.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Yep, that's the one we've been waiting for.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in rookie command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Hey, I don't know if what we talked about a while ago was quite the dumbest thing that I have to offer you tonight. I mean, it's pretty close, but I got a couple of others here that rate up there pretty high. This one here, y'all have seen this statue. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put it in a picture of it in the chat room because I know that many of you have seen this. I've seen it in movies, seen it in all kinds of, you know, magazines and stuff. Let me stick this in the chat room for me. Tell me if you have seen this before. Does that look familiar to you? Well, I'm not a big fan of feminists anyway. As a matter of fact, I absolutely despise them. This statue is in Normandy, and this was taken from a photograph from VJ Day in New York back many moons ago. And these feminists are demanding, they didn't ask, they're demanding that the statue, based on this photograph of a sailor kissing a woman, be removed from Normandy, because it's actually, you ready? It's a sexual assault statue. Yeah, I said it. Sexual assault statue. A French feminist group there claimed that the statue actually, what it shows actually is sexual assault of a woman who did not give verbal consent before being kissed. And the group is petitioning to have it removed immediately. Well, the guy that took the original photograph has said that George Mendonça, the sailor in this image, he was happy to be home. And he'd been just bouncing around there and haphazardly kissing any woman that came close to him without taking the time to explicitly get written permission or ask for verbal consent. This feminist outfit says that the statue is clearly nothing more than the disgusting depiction of a sexual assault in progress. Oh, give me a break. The sailor could have laughed with these women, hugged them, asked them if he could kiss them with joy. But no, he chose to grab them with a firm hand and kiss them. It was an assault. And depending on who it is, there's a little bit of... Now, if you look at this thing here, this picture, if you look in the woman's right hand, there's kind of squished in between the sailor and this woman. She's holding a bouquet of red roses. And doesn't look to me like she's fighting too much. But depending on who the woman is, there's a dispute. It could be one of two women. But either way, according to the museum director, the woman is a nurse named Edith Shane, who stated that she had not been assaulted in any way. The feminist group, however, said that there's actually an Austrian woman named Greta Zimmer Friedman. And the woman said, "I wasn't kissing him, he was kissing me." But she sharply rejected the assault claim after a 2012 blog post picked up on that quote to say that the photo was an example of selective blindness of rape culture. She said, the woman said, "I can't think of anybody who considers that an assault." This is what she told the Navy Times, said that her and that guy who were strangers at the time stayed in touch over the years. She said it was a happy event. So everybody's happy and nobody thinks it's an assault except this feminist group. Yeah, Smoky Mountain Prepper, it's a French group. It was one big party. Everybody was happy. Everybody was running around hugging and bad. These people, there was no, I wasn't there actually, but I can just imagine that people were, you know, getting off the ships and off the buses and off the planes and just finding the first American that they could find and just picking them up and swinging them around in a big old hug and giving them a kiss. "I am so glad to be home, and God bless America." And I bet you every damn person is out there saying the same thing. And do you think that one, and now I don't know what happened later on that night when the beer started flowing, but right at the moment, I don't think that assault and sex of any description was the first thing on their mind. I think being home and being alive was a wonderful thing in their minds at the time. Yes, ma'am, I am sure glad to be here. Thank you for, you betcha. Yeah, okay, now we've got there winding down here a little bit. Let's go sit over here and get a hamburger or something, man. I'm tired of the damn sea rations and stuff. Let's go over here and get a bite to eat and get a Coke. It's just amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing. But nevertheless, the group of feminists should say, regardless of which woman it was, neither one of them gives a damn. Both of them said it was a happy event. Both of them were, okay, well, never mind. I'm sorry. No. They had to keep pushing and keep shut up already. Wow. Well, here's another one. This was in Kentucky. Now, this kind of surprised me. I thought it'd be California, Massachusetts, somewhere different. In Kentucky, 7-year-old kid says that this was born with all the right plumbing to be a male, a boy type male, but has always identified herself as a female, even though the plumbing's not right. After getting advice from the, what's the LGBT, lesbian, gay, something transgender, I don't remember, bisexual, transgender, I think. Anyway, getting some advice from that group on Monday, Nikki's daughter, Ella, that wasn't her name before, but now she's a girl, made her identity public. And while her school had been supportive, some parents are concerned. Why would this school be? I mean, I don't know exactly what the right way to handle this is. I would suspect that somebody planted that seed in this kid's head. And he run with it and said, okay, well, yeah, that must be it. So, I suspect that probably the thing to do would be to get some counseling. You know, spend some time at a counselor, your church. I don't know. But to do this is to admit that God made a mistake. Oh. God, hello, I am a girl. I don't need this thing down here. I need other stuff because you made me wrong. My brain is a girl and the rest of me's not. So I'd like to have that corrected if there's any way. Well, there's no way because God does not make mistakes. It's just flabbergasting to me that you'd let a 7-year-old. Now, once you get 18, 20, 30, 90, whatever, and you decide you want to do that, well, that's a whole different story. But at 7 years old, you can tell me that you know that you're supposed to be a girl? No? Said some of the parents were concerned. This other gal says, I've told my son to be nice when he sees this boy. I've told him to never refer to him as a girl because that's not what he is. Well, I'm okay with that. The same woman said Ella's new name and new wardrobe is confusing to other kids, including her own. Now, this is going to, hey, that looks like fun. Hey, I want to be a girl. And then what happens when they get to be 16 and get to be dating age, 16, 18, Wait. No, overs. I need to just, I don't want to do this anymore. To me, a boy who on Friday is a boy and on Monday decides to be a girl, to me, that's a major distraction. Our kids shouldn't have to go through that. Well, that makes sense to me. Nikki says, Nikki's the boy's mother, says it's important to allow Ella to be who she really is. Well, he really is what he was Friday. People have said they're going to pull their kids out of the same class, stupid things like that, but I'm not worried about it. She's the same kid. Different name, different clothes. Superintendent wouldn't comment on it, but says that their job is to provide a safe learning environment for all children, regardless of gender, race, or any other specification. Yeah. I don't know about all that, but, yeah, a 7-year-old doesn't even know what they want for dinner. That's a fact. How would a 7-year-old, where did they come up with the idea? You know, there was never a time when I was 7 or 6 or 5 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 12, 14 or ever. Did I ever sit down and said to myself, I said, self, something ain't right here. I think probably that I'm a girl. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do to fix it. Now, I don't want to do with all this equipment here, but I don't need it because I'm a girl. Have y'all ever met a 7-year-old boy that said, I don't want a little Tonka truck. I want a dolly on account I'm a girl. I can't wrap my mind around this, folks. I don't get it. I don't have the capacity. I am neither angry nor sad or I'm just Confucius. A lot. Someone had to have told that little boy that he wasn't right. You'll never convince me that a 7-year-old got up one morning and said, "Whoops, I don't need this stuff here anymore, because I'm now Betsy, Ella. Yep, and I want to get rid of these all these damn trucks and all this stuff, get them out of here, and I want pink. I want a pink t-shirt." I don't believe it. Oh, jeez. And I don't know, the Smoky Mountain Prepper, you haven't been listening to me very long, but I'm not sure that there is a overall conspiracy, a plan to get rid of masculinity, of getting rid of, the feminization of the American male. I don't really think that's anything other than just a, what would you call it, a sign of the times. I mean, what happened in Rome. That's part of the reason that it fell is because the feminization of the Roman man. And I think it's just happening again. I don't know that it's they that are doing anything, if it's just happening as part of just part of the overall plan to see who holds out and sticks things, puts things back together and keeps them from pulling a fart. And I've thought about this at great length, and this is not the first time that this discussion has come up. I don't think that the United States government or any group or group of groups, several groups, has the capacity to change all of mankind or a significant portion of mankind in that manner. However, I do think, just as when Rome fell, just as I think that it is just an evolving thing that's been happening over you know, decades, and it is about to come to a head. And I have really fretted about this, because the more that it goes on, we're losing men, we're losing boys. Boys want to sit and play computer game. They don't want to go out and learn how to butcher a rabbit or how to track a deer or build a fire. They don't give a damn about all that. They want to play games. They want to go to parties. They don't want to, you know. Amy had trouble she was so pissed. I was at the ranch, couldn't help. And her car wouldn't start. Got down Walmart and car wouldn't start. And I was trying to tell her, you know, as soon as they said somebody tried to jump it and she told me what happened, I knew immediately what it was. And out of several men that helped with this, none of them had any idea. All it was dirty battery terminals. I mean, not the terminals, but where the cable screws down. It's got those aftermarket deals on it, you know, and you got the cable that goes in there, and you tighten the two little 7/16 bolts down, all you had to do is, she finally got somebody to tow her out here, and I got up real early this morning. I got up at 5:30 and got out there and got to looking at it. Was it this morning? No, yesterday morning. Yesterday morning. And I got out there and fixed those battery terminals, and it started right up. Didn't even need to be jumped. Didn't fire it right up. But it's not just that. It's so many things. People are not encouraging their kids, making their, you don't encourage, hell, you make them get out there and split some wood crawl under the truck with me here, and let's check and see. Let me show you how to grease a U-joint. Well, first off, let me tell you what a U-joint is and what it does and why it's there and why it needs grease. And we can adjust the brakes, and we can do a great number of things here that you don't have any freaking idea how to do. And I do. And Smoky Mountain Prepper, I have thought about this. I've thought about it a lot, and it bothers me, because every year that goes by, son, every year we're losing no telling how many thousands of young men to this stupid crap that is all over the country, all over the world now. Yeah, and what bothers me so bad is we're running out of fighters. A lot of these people that can't operate a high lift jack and can't figure out how to adjust a pipe wrench, or which direction to screw the pipe together, how to wrap Teflon tape on a fitting. They're not, a lot of these people are not going to be effective fighters. And a good bit of it, I think, is due to a phenomenon called the feminization of the American male. And yeah, it bothers me. It does. I think about it a lot. It's not the first time this has come up. And I'm going to take a little short break. Amy just texted me. She's in She's made it to her destination and is seeing her mom, so if you will excuse me for a few minutes, I will put something on here for you for your listening pleasure, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
I just hate stupid people.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop. Saturday evening is 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Enemy is approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
Inevitable. People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We called them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
All right. I know. I'm back. I'm okay. All right. There's right at the wrist. There's a pretty good earthquake off of El Salvador. And that's a lot of that going on here lately, too. All righty. Well, there's an interesting story here. Last week, let's see, October. Yeah, this would have been, a week and a half ago. There was a black man was walking through a rich neighborhood outside of D.C. when he was confronted by two black Metro cops. With no reason at all, the officer stopped the man and started to question him. Man had, expressed some dissatisfaction with how he's being singled out, and the officer then ordered him to get on the ground. Well, there happened to be, and this is a neat story, there happened to be a white female attorney and the CEO of a company called Global Cyber Risk said she saw this while working in her from her home office. And hang on just a second here. Working from her home office, she ran out there to confront the cops and asked the housekeeper to record this thing. And she ran out to the man's defense saying that he was a friend and associate of a lot of people in the area. The police told her that they were responding to a report of burglary and said they stopped to question the man to see if he had anything to do with the incident. Woman didn't back down. She said she told the officers to... demanded that the officers tell her the address of where the report came from. When they provided her with the address, she told them that they were blocks away from the alleged crime and weren't even in the right neighborhood. She then told the officers that she was an attorney and that they did not have the right to detain him. After threatening to report the officers, she picked the man up and carried him away, saying to them, "Please leave our neighborhood." The lawyer said that as the officers were driving away, he said, "Just because he's black doesn't mean he's here to rob a house. He works for us. He's been in the neighborhood for 30 years. The lawyer later said that you've got a white woman and a Hispanic woman, a white woman and a Hispanic woman standing up for a black man against two black cops. It's shameful how they behaved. And if it were Columbia Heights or some other neighborhood, it probably would have just been worse. It was very interesting in the sense of getting a picture of how black cops treat black people and how humiliating that was for him and how they were treating him just like a dog. The incident shows how important it is for people to stick up for one another and start recording and asking questions when someone is being hassled by a cop. If there's just one person like this lawyer on every street, this world would be a much safer place." And, that's absolutely right. There's people need to not be afraid. You know, I keep seeing these things all over Facebook where people say, you know, I'm not nearly as afraid of Ebola and ISIS as I am a cop. I don't panic near as bad over that stuff as I do seeing red lights in my mirror, seeing a cop drive by. And you know, that's getting to be, that's a fact. People are getting to, and what's happening here, like so many, it can happen in any group of people. It happens with blacks. It happens with cops. It happens with certain religions. It happens with, you know, and any given group of people. That there are people that are trying to do what's right and to be good people and to get along and have friends and all that. And then there are people of their group, whether it's a racial group or cops or whoever, that destroy it for everybody else. And I'll never forget the story my ex-wife told me one time about a black guy that she knew in college. And he was sitting there with her and another white girl. And it was at lunch or something, and they were talking and being what people would call friends, and visiting with each other and just having a good time and having lunch, and that was the extent of it. And these four or five black guys come in, and they went to whooping and hollering and calling them names and saying what they would do with that white gal and this, that, and the other, telling the guy that was sitting with him, you know, how lucky he was and what he was going to do, and just all kinds of weird stuff. And I'll never forget the way that she described his face and his attitude after this. And he said he was almost in tears. He said, "Sometimes I'm just so ashamed to be black." And there's no reason for you to be ashamed to be black or white or red or brown or yellow or anything else. You can be ashamed of some of the people that are, you know, like these other guys. But, you know, I feel bad for the good cops out there, for the ones that really do believe that there is a reason for them to try to protect and serve, for those that really do go the extra mile and willing to take just a tiny bit of calculated risk to treat somebody decently, instead of being so afraid that they're going to do something, slamming them on the ground and tasing them and pepper spraying them and everything else, just in the interest of their own safety. You know, and there are still Andys of Mayberry's out there. You know, there's still a lot of good cops out there. But there seems to be so many more these days of these cops that will slam somebody to the ground. You know, we had that woman here the other day that was pregnant and wasn't wearing her seatbelt. And they yanked her out of the car and threw her on the ground not once but twice. And beat her up pretty bad for not wearing a seatbelt. I mean, it might have been one thing if it was drunk driving or reckless driving or something aggressive. She wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And this stuff is just, it's killing me. I don't get it. And I don't know, yeah, they are militarized. They are the whole damn bunch of them. With all this military equipment, I think they have adopted an attitude that they didn't used to have. It didn't used to exist in the law enforcement community. So, I don't know. Well, anyway, I get off on a tangent here and just get to whining and carrying on about all this stuff. And it doesn't do me a cotton-picking bit of good, but it doesn't keep me from doing it nevertheless. Let's see. This was a neat video. I might see if I can get this on here for you. Let me try something here. But this was an armed robbery with a little bit of a different twist here. Stand by just a minute. This was, I've always told you, as have many instructors and many people that carry a lot, how do you decide, when do you choose that time that you think that you should be carrying? Like, when do you choose that time that you think you should call and reinstate the insurance on your vehicle? The correct answer is all the time. You should have it with you or within arm's reach every waking moment. You never know what's going to happen. And I've got the video here. It's silent. It's just a security video. And it shows a man and a woman carrying stuff out to this little van. They're putting stuff in the back of it. And here comes a car pulling up to the gate. Now, obviously, this is looks like a pretty affluent neighborhood. There's this guy's got big wrought iron fence and sliding gate, and it looks like a real nice place. And here comes this little yellow car, and it parks up at the driveway. And here come these two guys jump out. Three guys jump out, and they come. They got masks and hoods on, carrying guns, and. They grab this man and woman and march them back into the house. And it shows them they're hurrying right along and pushing there, and they get to the house and they're out of sight for approximately 2 seconds. And here comes all three of them just hauling ass, running out, running over each other, falling down. And trying to catch their getaway car, evidently was going to drive around the block and come pick them up. It started driving away, and I want to tell you something. These boys were burning it up. Now, I mean, they were getting with the program. They were hauling ass back to this little car. Well, reason being, here comes this guy that was not one of the original man and woman here. This was another guy who was probably taking a nap or doing, say, he's in his underwear. He's got some blue shorts on. And he's carrying a gun. And he's running across the lawn here, blazing away at this car and shooting these guys. And you can see, I don't know if he's hitting them. I don't know what kind of a shot he is. But he's sure blasting, and these guys were wasted not a damn second getting out of there. And it's pretty funny. But anyway, the point is that he was in his underwear and in the house and had that gun, had to have been very nearby, because these guys were just out of the picture for 2, maybe 3 seconds. And I want you to know, when they come back into the picture, they were hooking it up. They were headed for that car. They wasn't about to let that car get away. And here comes this guy right behind him in his underwear, blazing away at him with a handgun. Anyway, I thought that was, but it not only was it funny, but it very much illustrates that that time that when you should be carrying a gun all the time. We can go back to Amy's goat story. I won't go into that. All of you have heard it, except maybe Smoky Mountain Prepper. But my wife was, would he have killed her? I don't know. But he was damn sure hurting her. And if she hadn't have been carrying her 9mm, that, I don't know how bad he would have hurt her. He did hurt her some. But, and, you know, there's just been all kinds of situations like that when there's no time to run, get it out from under the seat of the truck. There's no time to run back to the house and get it. If you and it just amazes me how many people say, yeah, I carry a gun all the time. I got it right out there in the seat of the truck right now. Oh, so you don't carry one all the time? Well, yeah, I do carry one all the time. It's out there in the truck. So do you carry one or is it out there in the truck? If it's out there in the truck, then, you know, that's great. When you're driving the truck, I guess it's okay to have it there with you. But when you're driving the truck, you probably don't need it as bad because all you do is, you, like, drive away. Roll the windows up and punch it. Probably don't need to shoot while you're driving the truck. Might, but probably not. But anyway, I saw a mountain shooter. I think you're down in the southern part of the state somewhere, aren't you? Pretty sure you are. I'm going to be up in the northern half here. I'm going to get up. I got so many things I got to be doing. Get ready to go on this cotton picking trip here. Not one of my favorite things to do, but it's has to be done. Unfortunate time right now. Amy said thank you guys for the prayers and the thoughts a while ago. She's going to bed. She's beat. She got up early this morning and had chores to do and horses to feed and all that stuff and had to have her at the airport at 11 o'clock. So I got a picture. I should have thought about it. I don't think that, let me check one of my accounts here real quick and see if that one picture has been synced in here yet. If it has, I'm going to try to get that in the chat room for you. I'm going to show you what an airport is supposed to look like. This, let's see. Nope, that's not it. Let's try this one. This is the first airport. That's the first of all the time that I've been here. This, today's the first time that I've been in the airport at Sholo. Small airport. They got some little 9-seater. Here we go. It is in here, by golly. Got some little 9-seater airplanes here that shuttle folks down to Phoenix. And let's see if I can do this for you. Hold on just a minute. I'm going to get this done here, and then we're going to start easing on out of here, getting ready for things that I got to do tomorrow, tonight. Let's see here. All right, I got it. Stand by. You guys are going to like this. Give me just a second. No, poop. That's not what I meant to do. All right, let's go back here and try this again. I know this is, once again, kind of one of those times when I'm babbling and stalling for time here. I do it all the time. If I could just get this picture to come up here. Oh, there it is. Alright, let's try this and see what happens. Alright, let's see if this comes up here. Maybe you have to click on it. I don't know if the picture will come up or what. Can you guys see that? I can't see it on my end. But that is a picture of the lobby in the Sholo, Arizona airport. There it is. It popped up. Now I see the link. So you'll have to click on that link, and then it'll take you there. Check that out. Is that awesome or what? I thought that was pretty neat for an airport. got a mule deer way back there in the back, and four nice bull, or three nice bull elk, and then a smaller one there. So I thought that was kind of neat. I had to take a picture of that, share that with you. So, okay, well, folks, I've got a lot of stuff to do. I'm sorry I was late coming in tonight, and this thing with Amy's mom has just happened at a really bad time when we had a whole lot of other stuff going on. So, but we're getting it all figured out, and great thing is that Amy's mom is really not doing well, and she was able to make it back in time to see her, and hopefully she'll get to spend some time with her. But it's not looking good. I don't think she's not going to be with us much longer. So I'm glad she was able to get back there and have a little bit of time with her, and I'll take off out of here in the morning, and I'll be there late tomorrow night. So there will be no show. Thank you, Not Too Late, and all of you that have for your thoughts and prayers and concerns, and she's a wonderful woman. She's had a good life. She's a good woman, and you know, it happens to all of us. And I think they've been preparing for it for a little while. But there will be certainly no show tomorrow night. I'll still be on the road. I'll definitely still be on the road when it's showtime. So I'll put some archive on there or something, and hopefully DeTinker or Concrete and one of the other will take care of that for me. Wednesday night, there's a good chance that I can do a show Wednesday night, but tomorrow night's out of the question. So this week's going to be a little iffy, and we'll get back to normal the following. I'm not even sure about next Monday, because I'm coming back that day, so it's just going to be a matter of whether I get back in time or not. So we'll find out then. After that, it'll be back to normal. So I appreciate y'all being with me tonight, and we'll see you, with any luck at all, we'll see you Wednesday night. All right? Bye-bye. Okay, let's call it a day, and thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for The Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let's